Not firing.
Points in the paint up as well. Jokic. Oh, what a pass. No look to Christian Brown.
There we go. We were just have to wait for it. You got to be patient, people. That was an unbelievable pass last night by Nikola Jokic as part of another exemplary performance by the veteran experienced group that Denver has. So indulge me for just a few minutes to talk about the NBA playoffs, which have been spectacular start to finish. You've had number one seeds go down. The number one seed in the East was Cleveland. They're out in five games to Indiana. The Indiana Pacers actually could win the NBA championship this year. That's how wide open these playoffs have been. The games have been memorable, some of them epic. The performances, it seems like every other night we're getting a performance for the ages, a performance that ESPN stats has to measure historically. Last night, the Nuggets at home, in a series that has literally been a test of physical will. The unbelievable defense, the intensity of these two teams in almost every game except for game two has been spectacular to watch. These are not two teams that focus on iso ball. These aren't two teams that give up, you know, easy bucket after easy bucket. Denver's not a great defensive team, but at times they've played incredibly well when it's mattered. It's a matchup between a championship team from a few years ago with championship players in Denver against a team in Oklahoma City who had one of the great regular seasons in the history of the game. They went 68-14, and their margin of victory was the largest in NBA history in the regular season. But they are a team with young, inexperienced postseason-wise players. They got to the second round last year in their first playoff run together and lost. They have the presumed MVP. It'll be very close between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA as he's known, and Nikola Jokic in Denver looking for his fourth MVP. I think SGA will get it by, you know, maybe a comfortable margin. We'll see. Interestingly, they have not named the MVP yet, and these two will go at it in a seventh and deciding game on Sunday afternoon in Oklahoma City. But if you haven't had a chance to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, played at Kentucky for a year, Canadian, been in the league, was a top 10 pick, you know, somewhere around number 10, I think, 7, 8 years ago at this point. He's 26 years old, so he's probably been in the league 7 years. He started his career in L.A. with the Clippers, got traded. He was not a draft choice of Oklahoma City, but he's been an outstanding player now for several years running. Last year, he was certainly in the conversation for MVP, and this year he averaged 33 points a game. He shot 50-plus percent from the field, you know, close to 40 from behind the arc. His game is very old school. It's methodical. He thrives in the mid-range. He's one of those old school players that gets to his, you know, spot. And once he gets to his spot, he's almost unstoppable. He's actually got a couple of spots. They're both mid-range spots. The baseline where he uses his body, which is not overwhelmingly physical. It's 6'6", 190 maybe. But he uses it so well to get just enough space. And he's just deadly on that baseline 10 to 12-foot jump shot. Same thing in the paint. Once he gets inside that free throw line, he's able to create enough space, and he's just money, never misses. He's phenomenal at driving the ball and finishing at the rim, and he shoots the three well, too. He is spectacular. He's matched up, not, you know, in terms of guarding each other, against one of the greatest to ever do it. I know that that sounds like hyperbole, but Nikola Jokic is flat out one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. And you're watching him right now, if you choose to, like I do, in his prime at 30 years old. He is the most skilled center in the history of the game. Now, you may say, no, come on, K. Kevin. It's got to be Wilt in terms of just overall skill. Well, Wilt didn't shoot the three. They didn't shoot three back then. I get it. They're, you know, Willis Reed may have been able to shoot the three. He had a really good jump shot. There have been some great centers in the history of the game that could shoot the jump shot. But, you know, Kareem's not taking you out to the three-point line. Russell's not taking you out to the three-point line. I don't think Wilt would have ever taken you out to the three-point line. Olajuwon, maybe a little bit different. He had a really good stroke in a really good face-up game as well as a post-game. Shaq's not going to take you out to the three-point line. Nikola Jokic, in terms of offensive well-roundedness and skill, I think you'd have to say he's the most skilled and versatile center in the history of the NBA. Last night, in a game that they had to have at home, down 3-2, let the game come to him because he had a player in Jamal Murray who was sick, had a temperature, was listed as questionable, and had not a Jordan flu game. I'm not about to go there. But man, was he good last night, given his condition. You could tell he was sucking wind from the beginning. They played him 42 minutes. He ended up with 25 points and a plus-minus of plus 28 in the game. Jokic, 29 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals in the game, after going for 44, 15, and 6 in Game 5. Denver and Oklahoma City are tied up at 3 games apiece. The truth is Denver had Oklahoma City on the ropes in Game 4 to take a 3-1 lead and had them on the ropes up 9 in the fourth quarter in Game 5. This series could easily be over, but it's not. SGA, phenomenal. Last night was the first truly bad game for one of their other big-time supporting role players, Jalen Williams. He was 3-for-16. Chet Holmgren, if you recall, was the number 2 overall pick a few years ago out of Gonzaga. 7-1, you know, when he got drafted, he may have been 175 pounds. That's exaggerating, but he was less than 200 at 7-1. He's not a whole hell of a lot heavier than what he was when he came into the league, but he is an incredibly versatile big man, can put it on the floor, can shoot it, can post, is a rim protector. They've got so much talent. They've got so much depth. They're young. They're fresh. Denver has the experience. I think they've got the best player and the biggest force in the series in Jokic, but it's close with SGA. But they are very reliant on their starters, although last night they got the first off-the-bench surprise shocking performance from Julian Strother, who came in off the bench and hit 3 huge threes and scored 15 when I'm not sure he had scored more than 2 or 3. I'm looking it up right now in any game. He had 9 in Game 2, which was a blowout. He had 3 in Game 5. You need that. And, you know, you need somebody to come up big because, God, Russell Westbrook, yes, he's still in the league, if you were wondering. 36 years old, playing at this point with, I don't know, his 6th or 7th team. Remember, he was here for a season. You know, the thing that people don't know about Russell Westbrook is he, in every locker room, becomes the alpha leader, the most popular person on the team. And yet, as much as I used to love Russell Westbrook, I came to the conclusion a few years ago, it's really hard to win with him if he's going to be out there for significant minutes. His minutes aren't significant. He comes off the bench. But he's either, if you could just tell Russell Westbrook, you're going to play defense, and you're going to crash the offensive glass, but we can't allow you to handle the basketball or shoot the basketball, they'd be great. He'd be great. But that's not Russ. Russ thinks when he's on the floor that he's still capable of going for 40. And he's more likely to airball or literally break the glass on a shot than he is to make one. Although in the first series against the Clippers, he shot it great. He was a turnover machine last night. They had to pull him. And then he makes a big defensive play and a huge driving layup against the pressure late. But this is about Jokic, Murray, and the key supporting players, Gordon, Braun, and Porter, and maybe a guy like Strother off the bench if Denver's going to use that experience and a short bench to beat an inexperienced but fresher, younger, and deeper team on what will be a crazy home court. Sunday, 3:30, Game 7, second round. This series has been great. I hope we get a really competitive game. I think we'll get a really competitive game. But I'll say what I said earlier in these playoffs. I think Oklahoma City's the best team that I've watched. It's just that this is a sport where typically you have to earn your way, and the more experienced teams end up winning, especially these kinds of games. I think Denver's going to regret blowing Game 5. They had a great opportunity to win that game, and they went cold with a 9-point lead for about a 4-minute stretch that just killed them in that game. But I think Oklahoma City wins Game 7. I'll be rooting for Denver because I want to continue to watch number 15 for the Denver Nuggets, Jokic. The team awaiting them, Minnesota, will not be easy. Another young team. We're seeing a bit of the changing of the guard with Oklahoma City, you know, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren, and then Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, you know, in the East and Indiana with Tyrese Halliburton, and New York with Jalen Brunson. Tonight you get Game 6 in Madison Square Garden, perhaps the most expensive ticket for an NBA game that has ever been. I am not a believer that the Knicks better win tonight. I gave Boston a shot down 3-1 without Jason Tatum to win this series. I still thought that they were talented enough to do it. They have a superstar two-way player in Jaylen Brown, the MVP of the NBA Finals last year. I still think Boston can do it, but I don't think that home court, it hasn't mattered. The Knicks took the first two in Boston. Boston took one of the two in New York. If New York loses tonight, I still think they could win Game 7 on Sunday night. But most people think the Knicks better put the Celtics out of their misery tonight or they're going to lose Game 7. But you could end up with two incredibly tense games between Boston and New York tonight and on Sunday, and you already have a Game 7 with Denver and Oklahoma City set for 3:30 on Sunday. I'm assuming that if it's Boston Knicks in a Game 7, that would be Monday night. How about that? You're going Friday night, Monday night. If the Celtics win tonight, Game 7 is on Monday night. Man, the NBA drags this out a bit. But incredible NBA playoff season. It's not always this way. I enjoy it. I've, you know, expressed my views on that. I think you guys as sports fans who aren't NBA fans, I think you're missing out in a big way on just incredible drama, compelling sports theater during these NBA playoffs. This has been a special postseason with just some intense games and all-time epic performances. All right, enough of that. When we come back, Washington's net rest for their schedule in 2025 is not going to be an advantage for them. I'll explain when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.